With the 36th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Miles Jack, linebacker, UCLA.
That is an awesome pick. I mean, he's a draftable tailback. He's a top five pick. All the rumors were Jacksonville in the first round, and they came back, traded up, got him in the second.
I've seen the guy line up number one receivers. I've seen him cover tight ends. I've seen him play running back. I've seen him flat back offensive guard. So he's got a rare combination and skill set that we just felt like it was time to pull the trigger. The risk was worth the reward.
This is honestly the place I wanted to be at. I was telling everybody, you know, before the draft, like, if I could choose a place to come, it would be Jacksonville, just with the, really just starting with the head man, Gus Bradley. He's an honorable man. Me and him connected really quick. I felt like, you know, I could trust him in everything, and just where the program is heading, I feel like it was a great place to be a part of.
Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, Fat Tony, I'll let the college kid get away with calling it a program, all right?
They all called them programs all weekend long.
That's fine with me, baby, because we got a little Freddie T there and a little Miles Jack there. We got a little national love for the Jags, but the bottom line is we got Jalen Ramsey, we got Miles Jack, and a bunch of other fresh blood right here in Jacksonville. It is a Wild West Guns of Gold Money. Welcome in, everybody. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live back at EverBank, and so good to be back in warm Florida. Oh, my goodness. It was a little steamy, I got to say, getting my car. I had to park on the top level of the carport at the airport because everything was full, and it was a little baking up there, Tony, but I was happy to get out of the drizzly, rainy, like 41-degree miserableness that was Chicago, Illinois.
Bring that draft on down to Jacksonville.
Come on down. We were building the brand-new app there. You know, everyone's people were sick of me as it was. I replicated just a moment ago when that pick was announced in the open, the little chair dance I did. I was doing national radio on Sirius XM, and the Miles Jack pick came in, and I was so obnoxious at that point in time.
I was getting ready to go out with some friends of mine for dinner, but I knew the Jags would be picking there at the top of the second round, obviously, so I was like, well, you guys are going to have to wait until whatever happens with the Jags happens, and then I'm willing to leave the house for a couple minutes and get somewhere to watch the rest of the second round of the draft. And I'm sitting there watching it. I have friends in the house that are kind of wandering through. They're not really paying much attention because they're 38th. Right? And so it's on pick like 35 and it comes up. It's like Rich Eisen just like offhand mentioned Jags have traded to 36 and they go on talking about the 35th pick and I'm like, what? Like I was in the house, I was yelling at everybody, you got to get in here now. It's about to happen.
It's going down.
They're
right
like,
now.
What's about to happen? I was like, Miles Jack is about to happen. And I was fist pumping. I was high-fiving everybody in my room. I was so excited.
Again. 32nd pick, Tony. I thought he might go right then and there.
Too.
You know, you had rumors that everyone was trying to trade up with Cleveland and get it to the top of the second round. Cleveland was going to stick with their boy Ogba. Fine. Maybe he turns out to be a Pro Bowl.
I was
don't
shocked.
Care.
When I left the house, I was shocked there weren't just people dancing in my neighborhood, just coming outside to dance about the fact that they had found a way to get those two guys.
You know
what
was shocking? Jalen Smith going third in the round after those two pass
Thank
rushers.
You, Jerry.
I think Dallas would have taken either one. Absolutely, right? Look, I mean, Jalen Smith, I had nothing against Jalen Smith. They turn out to be a tremendous player in his own right a year from now. And Dallas's surgeon is the one who did his repair. So he knows him as well as anybody in terms of where he's at medically. But, man, if it wasn't worth the risk, are you kidding me? I mean, and you sit there, and again, at the start of the night, thinking, no way, it's not going to happen. And then as he keeps a couple picks go by, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be so crushed at this point in time if he goes at 36. And I really thought Baltimore would take him. And when you saw the Jags on the clock, you knew. 99.9% Miles Jack, and it was a .01 Noah Spence.
I really wish that there had been a draft party going on at the stadium for round two, because the reaction during the first round of the draft when the Cowboys went on the clock and took Ezekiel Elliott, the party began.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy. You could hear it on the radio, the out loud reaction of the fans that were down here for the party when Ezekiel Elliott went at 4 and they knew Jalen Ramsey was coming to Jacksonville at 5. I would have loved to have had thousands of people in one spot when it was announced that the Jags had traded from 38 to 36. And we're going to take a guy that a lot of people thought they was very much in play for them at 5 in this NFL draft the entire time that they potentially got two of the best five, probably at worst prospects in the entire draft. And they managed to do it at 5 and 36, and all they had to give up for it was a fifth round pick. It's unbelievable.
And they get Dante Fowler Jr. back,
right?
So you're in essence, as many have pointed out, getting three top five picks added to your defense this year, in addition to Sean Gibson and Malik Jackson and Prince Amukamara and others that they will, you know, send Derek Marks returning hopefully to full health.
Yep.
You know, can you get some pass rush on third down out of Ngakoue and Tyrone Holmes? I think they can. Maybe, you know, it doesn't look, if each of those guys gives them four sacks, right, and they find a few, maybe they get a half dozen out of a healthy Derek Marks, and they add that to what they had last year. Look, it's not going to be perfect. They don't have Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware lining up on this defense.
No, it's not going to be perfect, and it's really young. A lot of the guys they're going to be counting on are going to be really young, so the expectations have to be tempered a little bit, but I'm not going to temper them today.
No, I'm not. If you
today
want to,
is about the excitement. I mean, we'll talk about what you should and shouldn't expect out of rookies in September. On May 2nd, no.
Let me just say,
we're going to party.
Speaking of September, the tweet I retweeted this morning was absolutely phenomenal. Let me dig it up in my timeline here. It was, this is from Matthew, tweeted this out, at KnowlesJags904, and I saw someone retweet this morning. This is from September 23rd of 2015. I presume this is right when Miles Jack got hurt,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you started thinking about his draft stock and how is that going to impact it. This was the tweet, I quote it, "What if Miles Jack falls to the second round? The Jags scoop Ramsey in round one and Jack in round two, hashtag wishful thinking." This was September 23rd of 2015.
I am the smartest man alive!
Knowles Jags 904 has broken the internet. It will have to be rebuilt at a later date. Oh, my goodness. So I'm giddy today. I'll admit it. You know what? I do get swept up in it. How can you not be excited? Look, I'm sure there's some Jag fans going, man, I really wish we addressed the interior of the offensive line at some point or whatever. And I get that. I'm not saying everything's perfect. There's no perfect team. Every team has flaws. You didn't see the Denver Broncos go undefeated last year. So is the Jags defense so potentially drastically improved this year? I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. So we'll talk about it. You know we will. And we want your feedback today. We cleared the decks. It's all about you today, the Jaguar fan. I've been so eager ever since the Jalen Ramsey selection on Thursday to be able to interact with you. I'm sure Friday's show is a lot of fun, but I want to hear from you today. So does Tony. What is your reaction? What are your thoughts? How good can this team be? How significant a step forward can they take on the defensive side of the ball this year? Anything Jaguar draft related, bring it to the table today. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day is this on both Twitter and Facebook. Describe the Jaguars 2016 draft class in just one word. Okay, just one word. And OMG is not one word, because that stands for oh my God or oh my goodness or however you want to say it. But you can use that if you want to. I'm going to let that slide a little bit today if you want. Then also I put a poll up on my Twitter feed. If you go into my timeline at MD_1010XL, and I asked which rookie will have the biggest on-field impact for the Jaguars in 2016, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, or someone else, and no, Dante Fowler Jr. does not count as a rookie officially for purposes of this poll. So Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, or somebody else. We're talking Jags, we're talking draft, and we're going to talk it with you at 641-1010. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford, so hop on board there at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler on the Twitter. Let's get rolling. Jaguars today live from Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
We want to be great, and, you know, we got to take chances. And we've been pretty conservative in our time here and our, you know, philosophy of drafting and, you know, some of our free agent acquisitions. And there comes a point in time where we got to change, we got to close the talent gap. And you're not going to do that without taking risks. And this is one that we just felt calculated risk. And, you know, he's going to, you know, play out this contract, and hopefully he's here for 10, 12 years. And we look back at it as a good thing for the Jaguars.
I'm a football player, man. I'm not I'm not here for the, you know, all the extra stuff and all the flash and dash. You know, at the end of the day, I really just want to put that helmet on and play ball. And that process is long, you know what I mean? But it's a once-in-a-lifetime process, and I appreciate it, you know what I mean? But I'm definitely, like he said, I can piggyback on that. I'm glad it's over with.
All right, there you go. Taking chances, that's what David Caldwell talked about at this point. You got to, right? Take a chance to be great. They took a chance on greatness with this selection.
I agree with you.
Miles
and
Jack.
I think when you look at the teams that, especially the teams that were picking ahead of him at the top of the second round, that had to make the decision again on Miles Jack, who not only had passed on him the first time, but were having to make a decision on whether to pass on him the second time. I think you look at teams specifically like Cleveland and Tennessee, and when you look at their draft in general, they're safe drafts. These are teams that had very safe picks, safe drafts for the most part, and it just felt like they were never going to be willing to take a risk on a player like Miles Jack if they thought that potentially they could only get 3 or 4 years out of this guy. The general managers and front offices there just weren't willing to take that kind of risk. I think you're looking at one here in Jacksonville who they're in their fourth year. It's time to turn this thing around now and is a bit more willing to take those kind of chances to be really good.
If Gus Bradley goes 5-11, Tony, is he back for a fifth year? He can't be
I
back
doubt
for
it.
A fifth year, right? So you got to have players that can help you right now. There's a lot of talk about the Giants maybe being interested in Miles Jack on NFL Network in the lead up to the draft simply because they feel like, you know what, Eli's got a four-year window. If he gives us a four-year contract, we're maximizing the chances to win a championship. And, again, is it completely built, despite the fact that they proclaimed it built last year? It's not built now. It's never built. It's always
right.
A work in progress. The only team that's got it built is a team that hoists the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the year. That's it, all right?
And they still got issues coming into this draft.
Right.
Big,
but,
massive
but,
issues.
But
they built it well enough in 2015 to win a championship.
But I'll take those issues if I'm the Denver
sure.
Broncos and in return for a championship. 641 1010 is the phone number. Love to hear your feedback today from you Jaguar fans. And not just, we just don't want, oh, it's all great. Miles Jack, fantastic. If you feel like you're concerned about some areas that they didn't address, you would have liked to have seen them address. Maybe you felt like there were some players at a particular point in time that were better options. I find it hard to believe anyone's going to give this draft a overall negative grade or impression, but that doesn't mean you can't nitpick it if you want to, right? But I got to believe most Jag fans very happy and may not even know who got selected after the 38th pick in the draft, quite frankly, for any team at that point in time. Let's go to the phones for the first time today. He's Mr. Postgame Show. He's Mr. First In. And, Tony, I would say it's 92% negative with Saqib on the postgame show. And I'm not saying it's been undeserved. We'll find out today as he leads off Jaguars today. Good morning, Saqib. How are you?
What's up, Mike?
What's up?
Man, I'm on top of the roof because I'm a Florida State fan, and to get a guy that I Dallas Cowboys are my heroes. Okay, I'm gonna tell you that because I thought the Dallas Cowboys were seriously gonna take him, and I'm happy they didn't. I'm Jerry Jones is my hero for not taking my boy Ramsey. But let me say this: is I hope he starts. I don't know if he's going to start right away because we still have Prince and all the guys. I don't care where he plays, long as he's with Jacksonville. Let me ask you guys one more other thing. Is what number is he going to wear so I can go buy his jersey? And also, the one word that you say you described, that the draft is serious.
Yes.
That's all it
was
is.
Was serious? All right. You got it. Thank you, Saqib. I think I saw somebody tweet out that currently the only defensive back number open was 38. Tony, I don't know what number Ramsey's going to end up with. Have you heard anything?
I haven't heard anything.
That's
yet,
not the kind of thing I paid attention to over the weekend. I didn't get back until yesterday afternoon from Chicago, and then there was a little sleep in order for me at that point in time. Trust me. But Saqib, glad to see you're on the good side of things, and you sound like you got a smile on your face this morning. 641-1010. Let's go to Steve in East Arlington next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, the reason why I like Miles Jack is because he's got a perfect defensive name. Just like when we first started out with Joel Smingy, tackled by Joel Smingy. Now, when there's a tackle by Miles Jack, it'll be Miles Jack. I'm out.
All right, there you go. That's fine. If that's reason enough for you. Sure. Well,
yeah, Miles Jack is going to Jacksonville.
Right, you're
going to
stretch Miles out. Miles Jack, right? I mean, that's what it's going to be. I heard after Thursday night, I heard people calling him Jalen Jaguar, right,
mm-hmm.
for Jalen Ramsey. So you got Jalen Jaguar and Miles Jacksonville. Whatever.
And then that third-round pick that you're going to have to learn how to say.
Yes. I'm going with Ngakoue. Do I have that set?
I think that's right.
I think that's right. Yeah. How long did MJD study that?
I'm going with Yannick.
Yeah, how long did he study that before he made that announcement?
I am not sure.
I think he got it right. I hope he got it right. I hope we got it right. And apologies, as I mentioned several times throughout my broadcast week, and apologies to all the names I'm probably butchering at this point in time. Let's go to Mike in St. Augustine. I think I have that name right. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Fantastic this morning. I remember listening on Friday afternoon, listening to the fan reaction on Frank's show to the Jalen Ramsey pick, and I agree with y'all. I wish I could have heard a party with 1,000 people, Jacksonville fans, to hear how everybody just passed on Miles Jack, and then Jacksonville picked up the two top five people in the draft. I cannot be more ecstatic with just the first two picks. Everything else is icing on the cake. Who cares? We got the two best players in the draft for defense. That's something that we needed help with. I can't wait. I hope Miles Jack proves everybody wrong and plays 10 solid years in the NFL. But even if he only plays four, who cares? We got him in the second round. He's a top five guy.
I'm with you, brother. You know what? Look, how many times you get a good player in the second round, you're unable to re-sign him, right? He hits free agency. You might lose him. Well, maybe you lose him for some other reason. Maybe Mike's right. Maybe he plays 8 or 10 years, Tony. You know what I mean?
We don't know.
Maybe he goes 6 Pro Bowl caliber seasons and gives you 3 journeyman type years. Who knows what it's going to be? Maybe he plays a half a year regardless. Make your decision today, okay? Don't be Mr. Second Guesser. If you want to say today this is a bad pick because there's way too much risk, that's your prerogative. But don't say, well, it was worth it, and then say, I told you so, down the line if it happens. You know what? If Miles Jack goes out and his knee blows up a month into the season and it's directly related to this and they lose him, I'm going to feel awful for the Jags. It's going to be gut-wrenching for the Jags, but I'm not going to fault them one single bit for taking the chance on this guy.
Me either. I don't see how you slash, can. Knee expert slash fortune teller.
Mouse Jack talking about a little bit there. No, look, he's an unbelievable talent, and the idea of getting a guy as physically gifted as Miles Jack is in the second round of the draft, seriously, this was a guy that if he was completely healthy, probably doesn't get outside the top 6 picks of the NFL draft. Just doesn't happen. And look, for the questions about what his long-term viability is going to be, nobody knows the answer to that. And that's kind of why he didn't go in the first round, because teams aren't willing to take that risk in the first. The Jags are obviously willing to take that risk in the second round, and he's ready to play football right now. It's not like Miles Jack isn't available to the Jaguars right now. He is healthy enough to play football right now. They don't have to wait on him.
You know, as Gus Bradley said, if he were still in UCLA or enrolled to play football, he'd be
spring.
A full participant in spring football.
Yeah.
There were no restrictions on him. We saw the workout video. The Jags worked him out. As they said, we tried to exhaust him a little bit of high tempo, not a whole lot of recovery time. Look, it's a gamble. Guess what? You know who else is a gamble? Jalen Ramsey's a gamble. Every single player
to
in the
degree,
draft
yeah.
is a gamble, right? Dante Fowler. Like, let's hope that never happens to another Jaguar draft pick. I mean, it happens. Football's a violent game. I'm
trying
not to get
and
too carried
look,
away
there's
here.
Also this assumption that whenever, if it does go bad for Miles Jack, if the knee does require surgery at some point, that means that he'll never be a good football player again.
Right, maybe he's just a good player after that.
Well, maybe he's fine. Maybe it doesn't affect him. Maybe he has to miss a year at some point in his career, and he's still the guy that you saw on tape after that. Like, there is that chance out there, too. The Dallas Cowboys, 3 picks before Jacksonville, were willing to take a risk on a guy who may never be able to play football again, is the conversation with him.
You know, never is probably strong, but rarely does the second-round pick overshadow the first one when everyone universally loved the first one as much as they did Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey says he just wants to prove everyone right.
Oh, tons of motivation. Tons of motivation. I want to prove everybody in this organization who believed in me right. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to go out and do the best I can for this team. Make sure I make my family proud and go out there and show all my God-given abilities and skills and talents.
We'll find out.
Yeah, he's impressive guy.
He's going to play. Very impressive guy. I think Jack's an impressive guy, too. And look, the Jags have... They generally don't draft too many dummies, right? I mean, seriously, the guys that they bring in seem to, you know, have a brain in their head that goes beyond football. Ramsey's impressive. Jack's impressive. Several of these other guys are impressive as well, and I haven't seen all of them and met all of them. Rookies are coming in, by the way, Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
We may have a chance to get one or two on the show on Friday. Depends on what their schedule is going to be like. You got to imagine the first full day is going to be pretty busy. Also get some veteran players who will be working out this week in later in the week, but we wanted to really focus on this draft class for at least the first couple of shows of the week here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. 641-1010 is the phone number if you'd like to get on board, talk about any aspect of this Jaguars draft. What are your expectations now? How much have they raised, if at all, after the draft? You had one set of expectations prior to free agency. Another adjustment comes after free agency. How do you feel now? Did you add a win to the win total, two wins to the win total? Are you thinking division title? What are you thinking? I'm sure you're not going to be the only one out there who's thinking that. And we're not just talking about among the Jaguar faithful here, the national pundits. They're going to be the sexy pick to win the AFC South. They may be the runaway pick when it's all said and done. I don't know. Runaway may be strong, but they may be the favorite to win it in at least a plurality of the pundits out there.
You know, I wouldn't doubt it.
It is that kind of season. By the way, you got to talk plurality.
Again, right, I'm now not going to talk you out of it today. We can have this conversation again about that in a month, but today, cloud nine.
Right. Yeah. Let's say Miles Jack's healthy at the start of the season. He gives up four touchdowns to tight ends over that first month. Then maybe we're saying, whoa, wait a minute, hold on a second. But for right now, boy, these guys are going to come in and make some immediate impact on this football team. 641-1010, both the phone number and the text line. That's driven by Duval Ford. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You wouldn't want that to happen, Tony. You wouldn't want some newcomer to come in and steal the show. That's from the folks at News 4 Jax. Saw that on the Twitter this morning. Lovely young lady who apparently at least at one point was a beach house owner down in South Florida. Thinks that, you know, kind of circumstances conspired against Dave Caldwell not stealing the show earlier as a newcomer to the general manager ranks. I think that's what that means right there. Made perfect sense in my head. How about you? Go right along with that, right?
That was pretty great.
I was retweeted quite a bit over the weekend. I think the guy who predicted Ramsey and Jack to the Jaguars back in September deserves more retweets, but he's lagging behind by about 800 right now. So good luck to you catching up with that one. Seems like we may not have seen the last of that steal the show. Somebody asked me this morning, will steal the show today? Well, you know, that's really up to you. It's your day. 641-1010 if you want to get in. And that's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. Let's get a couple of these texts here. Tony, did the Jags and Miles Jack scheme up the surgery story to be able to steal him in the second round? Let me tell you, here's how you figure this out. Go look at when they sign their deals, look at Jalen Ramsey's contract, and look at Miles Jack's contract, and then look at the difference in total dollar value.
Yeah.
And the fact that Jalen Ramsey will be fully guaranteed deal, 4 years with a fifth-year team option, and Miles Jacks won't be fully guaranteed. And you tell me.
Miles
is it worth
Jack,
$15 million to
right.
you?
Miles Jack is obviously very happy to be a Jacksonville Jaguar.
And we're happy to have
him. He said that this is where he wanted to land when everything was said and done. This is the team that was at the top of his list of landing spots. That doesn't mean that Miles Jack made up a knee story just so it could work out where the Jags get somebody else at five, and then he falls into the second round. If you really think that's the case, then why the hell was he in the green room Thursday night? If he really thought that was
the case.
He's
selling it.
Right.
He's selling it, Tony.
It wouldn't make much sense for him to be there for hours where the cameras keep coming to him going, oh, Jack's still in this room. Oh, here's his coach writing down the names of all these players who have gone late in the first round that everyone was sorry they passed on. And then he has to just wait till the next day and he says, I'm going home with my family. I'm not dealing with this going to the draft again. He landed in the spot he wanted to, but not when he wanted to. Miles Jack wanted to be the fifth pick in the NFL draft if he was going to Jacksonville. He's okay with coming to Jacksonville, but I guarantee you he wanted to hear his name called Thursday.
I have a history with people suggesting that players would make up stories that would be detrimental to their reputations in some way, Tony. I'm not going to rehash it, but if you've listened to me over the years, you probably know what I'm talking about, all right? So let's go to the Emerald Isle. Andre in Ireland checking in this morning on Jaguars Today. Let me see. Do the math here, Tony. Top of the afternoon to you, Andre. How are you?
Hello, guys. How are you? I'm doing good.
We're very well. What's on your mind today?
I have a question. Considering existing players that we have on the roster, plus we have bunch of new prospects from the draft, how happy you are with the depth on a defense, and could you grade it like A to C? I'll take it off the air. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Andre. Hey, we appreciate you calling in, man, all the way over there from Ireland. The Jaguars fan base, as we know, continuing to grow internationally. The depth on defense, I'll tell you what, the defensive tackle depth is disgusting.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, in a good way.
They
right?
got some tough decisions they're going to have to make. It certainly feels like Chris Smith is an odd man out right now, and trying to figure out the couple other names that are probably going to have to go here in Jacksonville is difficult. From there, exactly what they're going to do. If you're going to ask for a letter grade for what the Jags did on defense in this draft, how is it anything but an A?
If they only drafted
those two guys,
and they drafted O linemen the rest of the way, I'd give them an A on defense.
Right. I mean, they obviously are taking the problems that they had on defense very seriously. And look, for the people that are out there, and I talked to a lot of fans yesterday and through the weekend that were saying, well, when are they going to draft anything on offense? How are they helping the offensive line? Look, I think Caldwell, I've said this since I got back from the combine and had an opportunity to talk to those guys a couple times. Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell heard from them up there. They are confident that Brandon Linder can come in and be a Pro Bowl level center. They believe that inside this building. That was a guy they didn't even have on the offensive line last year. They were so impressed by what A.J. Can did at right guard last year, and they expect him to grow a little bit more this year as well. They brought in competition at left tackle for Luke Jokel and Kelvin Beachum, and they feel pretty good about Shatley, and they bring in Bernadeau. They're not and have not been as worried about the offensive line as a bunch of fans and draft experts and all these different people are. They're okay with the options they have in-house, and what they did this weekend was another example of how okay they are with the answers they have in-house. Like everything else that they're doing, they have to be right. They can't be wrong about that, because your franchise is standing up behind that offensive line. And if it's going to find some level of consistency, it's going to start up front with whatever five guys they're going to put on the field.
Look, Dave Caldwell said after the draft that once you got out of the first three rounds, he didn't think there were going to be offensive linemen that could come in and impact this team and compete either to A, make the roster, or significantly upgrade them. Even if there were upgrades, they would have been slight over what they had. Now, who knows? Maybe if a guy like Cody Whitehair, who slid to 56, some graded him as the best guard in the draft, maybe if he's sitting there in the third round, maybe they got a tough decision, or maybe they're locked in on Gakwe at that point in time too, because they obviously need pass rush help. So again, you can't fix everything at one moment. I wouldn't have minded them coming out with a guy like Christian Westerman, who lasted a long time in this draft as well. But they took the guys that they think are better suited to helping them. They signed Bernadeau, they signed Beachum. So you signed two new guys. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm confident that this offensive line is 100% ready to go. You are switching positions for Brandon Linder. You're asking a lot for Kelvin Beachum if you're expecting a big season out of a guy coming off a torn ACL. He tore it, you know, towards midseason, six games in to the NFL year, and he'll be competing with Luke Jokel, who has been underwhelming, to say the least, at this point in time, right? So you're going to have a competition at one of the guard spots. Can will start at one of the guard spots. Your center's going to be switching positions. Parnell, I think we feel, is solid. I think Linder will be fine, but you have to at least recognize, some moving pieces in putting that puzzle together.
No doubt about it. And maybe Luke Bowenko's the guy who wins the center spot over Brandon Linder, and now he has to, darn it, play guard, which was playing on an all-world level.
Linder's one of the starters, and he's going to be
right.
fine.
Right. It's going to be Linder and Can, are going to be on the field. If it, those two guys are on the field, and there's a question about whether Linder's going to be playing center or if he's going to be playing guard, but those two guys are going to be on the field, and I feel like they do have some pretty good options as far as who that third guy is going to be and some flexibility with what they're doing on that interior line.
Somebody said, here's one on the text line driven by Duval Ford, the only drawback in their eyes is why draft the Arkansas a quarterback. Why? Well, I mean, obviously, they felt like they wanted to get a younger developmental quarterback in here. I don't expect that he'll play a snap. In fact, I don't know if he'll be on the active roster or the 53 this year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It depends. You know, he went pretty late considering the success. We're talking about Brandon Allen here. He had a lot of success. His touchdown interception ratio, very impressive, playing against SEC West competition at Arkansas. And he's a Senior Bowl guy, Tony. So they knew him. They love his makeup. He's 6'1", 217. He profiles as a career backup, right? But you've got to develop those guys at some point in time. I mean, as funny as it sounds, I know a lot of people don't like anything to do with Chad Henne. He's probably one of the more solid NFL backup quarterbacks out there because he has a lot of starts under his belt. And you know it's not going to be panic time for him when he gets in there. Think about it. If you had to go a three-week stretch with Chad Henne, and I'm not wishing that ever. I hope Blake Bortles plays 16 games every season for the rest of his career. I hope he plays, hope he plays 19 and the Jags win Super Bowls. But, you feel like with all the pieces in place, this defense hopefully could keep you in games regardless of how many points you're scoring, you know, that it's not going to be a catastrophe if you have to go a stretch with Chad Henne for a couple, two, three games.
Yeah.
Brandon Allen is a guy they want to develop and see if he could turn into the long-term answer behind Henne, or past Henne behind Bortles. That's the eloquent point I'm trying to make right now. All right, let's go to Jim in Ponte Vedra. Next up, I got a bunch of them on the line here. I'll jump in with Jim and Ponte Vedra on Jaguars today. Hi,
morning,
Jim.
Guys.
How are you?
Morning, guys. Not only do the Jags fans need to send a thank you note to Jerry Jones, they need to send a thank you note to the Tampa Bay Bucs. We had to live with it for years and years and years. Not only did Tampa take a kicker, they traded up in the second round to take a kicker. So now we're off the radar for the anger pick. And, Terrence obviously got a hold of them over there.
So. Yes, don't think I wasn't thinking of Terrence, man. I'll say this, the Aguayo kick, and you can call me a homer because I'm a Florida State fan, the Aguayo kick to me is a lot more defensible than the Brian Anger pick ever was, especially with the extra point being permanently moved back to 37 yards now. This guy doesn't miss from inside 40 yards. So, you figure when you get within relatively normal field goal range that you've got an automatic 3 points on the board. I look back to the Janikowski pick, also a Florida State guy, Tony. You look back at how many first-round busts there were in that year's draft that the Raiders could have selected. I think Janikowski has proven to be worth the selection he was taken at. Now, will Aguayo have that kind of career? But the immediate reaction, you're right, nationally is, oh, kicker, second round, way too high. We've seen it before. Mike Nugent was drafted actually higher, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, that Nugent came into the league. So
I wouldn't trade anything to go get a kicker.
I'm not saying I would either.
I don't mind drafting Roberto Aguayo. I don't mind the idea of that. If I'm Tampa, I'm not trading away anything to go do it.
Understood. But I understand the thought process behind taking that guy. You know what? I compare it to who was the closer for the Marlins her first year? Florida Marlins in 1995. Boy, was it Brian somebody? He was an established guy, mm-hmm. and he was a free agent. I want to say he played in San Diego the year before, if I'm not mistaken. I may be. And they signed
was it
a
Rob
guy.
Nen?
No, it wasn't Rob Nen. I can't think of his name. Doesn't matter. And they asked, it was a Jim Leland who was managing him at the time the first year?
I believe so,
They asked, why would you sign an established closer when you're an expansion team? He goes, look, we're going to be in a lot of close games, we hope. And we can't afford to let the wins that we can get away, right? Like, when we've got that lead late in games, no matter how rare it is, we want to capitalize those opportunities. If you're in close games and it comes down to the kicking game, the Bucs feel we want to capitalize on those opportunities. Again, I'm not saying I would have done it. Third and fourth rounder, whatever. Let's move on. Let's go to Michael in Orange Park next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, gentlemen. Two questions for you. One is where do you see Sheldon Day taking a spot on this team? And also, with all the pieces in place for the defense now, how many years do you think Gus has to – what do you think he has to do this year to really solidify his job?
Okay, I'll answer the second one first. I don't know what the still don't know what the number is, no. But I think you'll know it when you see it this year.
We said last year when they decided to keep him at the end of the season that they have to feel like a playoff team in my mind. Whether they achieve that or not, that they have to feel like a team that it's every week you're going into the game feeling like, yeah, they can really get after this team. I would like to see them three or four times this year do what they did to Indianapolis, where they just run somebody out of the building at some point in time, because I do think there's the potential with the amount of talent they're going to be putting on the field on defense and the offense hopefully taking another step forward with the addition of Chris Ivory and hopefully the offensive line getting a little more solid. They become a little more consistent on that side of the ball, and instead of one time during the year finding a way to really get away from somebody, do it three or four times where you feel like you're coming into a fourth quarter of a game going, we got no issue here.
What was the first question?
The first question I forgot to.
Don't! Is he still on the line? Is Michael still on the line, Tyler? No. Oh, do you remember what it was? Go back and listen, because it was a good question.
It was.
And I can't remember what it is. Somebody just said.
Oh, it's Sheldon Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he was
yeah,
asking about Sheldon
He's
Day.
He's a three technique, which is what Sindarik Marks was. Think Sindarik Marks 2 years ago when he had that big season. That's what they wanted him to play. Now, Malik Jackson is your starting three technique defensive tackle. To me, Tony, this is there are a lot of factors going into the Sheldon Day selection. He's at the Senior Bowl, right? He does have some versatility. Even in college, he rushed from the edge a little bit, although Dave Caldwell said, we're not going to put him on the edge.
No.
He's going to be almost exclusively three technique. Maybe he can play a little nose tackle, which is Roy Miller's defensive tackle position. But basically, I think he's a bit of a hedge against Sindarik Marks. As much as we love Sen, and he is the heartbeat personality of that defense.
Sure.
You know, two season-ending injuries in a row. You can't be sure that body's going to hold up. And they don't. If Sindarik Marks hold up, they don't need big things out of Sheldon Day this year at all, right? But he's going to make this football team, and that is the role I could see him being part of a three-man defensive tackle rotation, ultimately, right? Being one of your top three guys. He's not going to be ahead of Malik Jackson. He's not. They didn't draft him to be a starter, but you have defensive tackles. You play a lot of them, and you know, if you're a backup, you're going to get plenty of reps, and Sheldon Day can make an impact on
this
team.
Go look at the snap counts for Tyson Alualu and guys like Michael Bennett last year, Bennett's a sixth-round pick that played a lot for this football team last year. So there are snaps for these guys. It's how big is the role going to be for Sheldon Day? I don't know how big it needs to be for Sheldon Day, and I don't know how much that hurts Day in the end. I think he may be a more effective player when he is just coming in a sub package or something like that, but you feel like you got a pretty good player coming in on that sub package as opposed to, look, we felt like they had depth along the interior of that defensive line anyway. Some of it could be going away in the very near future. They don't know really what they got in Sindarik Marks at this point. You can't be sure coming off those two injuries, as you said. And they have other guys that they have questions going forward. Ryan Davis is under control for one more year. Avery Jones is under control for one more year. They're going to have to make decisions on some of these guys in the very near future. And this draft, I think, gives them more flexibility with some of those decisions going forward.
And right, but for the short term, they are loaded for this year at that position group. And, you know, not everybody – look, they're not infallible. Pro Football Focus, not everybody loves them. Some people swear by them.
Yeah.
They graded Sheldon Day as an exceptional player last year at Notre Dame.
The best defensive tackle in football last year, the number one guy.
Right. I mean, it just – so, you know, look, he's smaller than you're typically looking for in the National Football League, and that's why you're able to get this guy in the fourth round. At his size, he's going to have to use his quickness to beat guards and centers to get to the quarterback and apply a little bit of pressure, but that's exactly the role they're going to ask him to fulfill for this team. We got to take a timeout here. We'll come back. This Dayton football, the Honda Drive around the NFL, and more of your calls, texts, tweets, and whatnot right here on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, I want to get back to Jag Talk, so I'm going to keep this quick, Tony. On this date in football history, May 2nd, 1959, Russ Grimm, one of the original members of the Hogs offensive line for the Washington Redskins in the 80s, was born. He's 57 years old, a four-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro, and a 2010 Professional Football Hall of Fame inductee. That's what I got for you on this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Free agent quarterback Brian Hoyer has signed a one-year deal with the Chicago Bears to back up Jay Cutler. The New York Jets, who drafted Christian Hackenberg out of Penn State in the second round, still reportedly have an offer out to free agent quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick for somewhere between $7 and $8 million a year, but it is unclear whether Fitz will sign that deal or if the Jets will be willing to up their offer to him over the course of the near future. The report came out this weekend that the Baltimore Ravens would have drafted Laremy Tunsil if that video had not surfaced right before the draft began. Tunsil, of course, wound up going 13th overall to the Miami Dolphins, but slipped down at least seven spots in the NFL draft because of that video showing him with the gas mask.
What a crazy Thursday night, right? I mean, really, the craziness started with Joey Bosa going to San Diego. Tony, a 3-4 team taking Joey Bosa didn't seem like that was the likely selection there.
They played that really well. For a team that it seems like was on that from the very beginning, they played that very well.
Once they said, and Tom Telesco came out and said, we have our guy, the top of our board guy, has been the top of our board guy for a while. I didn't think they were going offensive line because they couldn't have expected, I guess you could have Tunsil at the top of your board even if you didn't expect to get him. So that's one thing. But he said the guy we're going to take, I think, something to that fact, we've been on him since the beginning. So It made me think Ramsey. But it was obviously it was one of those kind of guys,
yeah,
right, that had been discussed at great length. And when Bosa came off, that was my first smile. I'm like, all right, you know what? The Jags may like him, but I like others more, right? And then it was just a matter of, if Dallas had gone Jalen Ramsey, the Jags, I think, would have been desperately trying to trade out of that spot, and maybe with an eye towards taking Miles Jack if they drop down into the teens, pick up some more draft picks. But failing that, I think they would have taken DeForest Buckner with that number three pick, right? Or that I think of it in terms of the number three pick because
sure,
the quarterbacks were.
And honestly, because of what had happened with Tunsil right before the draft started, I don't know if they could have gotten a deal to get out of five. Because that was probably the player that you were hoping was going to move the needle for some other teams. Buckner, maybe somebody wanted to come up and get, but other than that.
It's interesting, though, because you saw Tennessee make the move up, right, to get Conklin. And so maybe the impact would have been, well, you know what? We need to move in front of Baltimore to get Ronnie Stanley, right? So maybe it would have been Stanley who would have been the target.
Could
because
have been.
That's one more left tackle kind of out of the pool with Tunsil. Look, Tony, Robert Condici basically told you that Laremy Tunsil smoked pot, okay?
Yeah.
He told you that at the combine, so it shouldn't be a surprise. To see it on a video is one thing. I don't think the NFL teams care that he had his mom's rent paid or her utilities paid or
no,
anything like
why
that.
Would they?
But why is Hugh Freeze still employed today, honestly? I mean, what kind of programs Hugh Freeze running over there? You've been getting all these top prospects. Well, kind of figure out how, right? There's a lot of extra benefits going, and Tunsil had been suspended for suspicion of impermissible benefits,
yep,
at Ole Miss. So
why he missed the first seven games,
right,
this year.
So, look, Laremy Tunsil, I think, was an excellent pick by the Miami Dolphins. If the Jags had said we're taking Laremy Tunsil, let's say it had gone Bosa Ramsey, and they took Tunsil at that spot, and now it would have looked bad because of all the stuff going on,
sure,
and you get that aspect of it. Miami feels like they got a bargain. No one's picking on Miami because it was the 13th pick in the draft. You got a guy who was maybe considered the top guy. If you have your choice of all the tackles and you take Tunsil in those circumstances, there probably would have been more heat. But forget it. It's not their issue. It's somebody else's problem at this point in time. And then, of course, he had the Miles Jack slide, and he kept going. And we're sitting there, and we're broadcasting. And as you do, when the draft's on, you're trying to predict what could happen here. Oh, we thought he was going to Oakland. Then it was Carl Joseph going to Oakland. We thought maybe he'll go here. Is somebody going to trade up? So many teams are trading up into the end of the first round. Will it be for Miles Jack? And then sitting there overnight, I just, again, never thought he'd make it seven picks into round two. So glad that he did. 641-1010. Back to the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Someone points out they still think it's a stupid pick to trade up for Roberto Aguayo, but he points out the Bucs gave up the fourth-round pick that they got from the Bears for trading back in the first round, and they still got Vernon Hargraves, who, if they had stayed at 9, they would have taken Hargraves. Right? So they moved back to 11, get the extra fourth-round pick, which enabled them to secure Roberto Aguayo for basically their third-round pick by moving that into the second round with that extra pick. So if you look at it that way, that's a pretty interesting way to do it there. And clearly, the the Bears thought Leonard Floyd was going to the New York Giants and may well have been going to the New York Giants. So it's fun to always see the strategic moves that are made. The Texans, though, moving up one spot to get a wide receiver. You know, it's weird. Unless you think someone's going to leapfrog you, the team who's picking and trading back one spot is typically not going to make that move if they think you're going to take their player. So we'll find out if Will Fuller, and then they got Braxton Miller as well. Yeah. So they're trying to give Osweiler.
But in the first
toys.
Round, it was sure you could feel that run on receivers was coming.
Oh,
right
they,
there
we
when
knew
Texans,
what the sweet spot was
when Houston
be.
Was making that move. They obviously wanted Fuller more than they wanted anyone else. We've been talking to guys in Houston for the last couple months who have said speed, speed, speed. Everything they're doing in free agency and obviously in this draft as well is about getting speed because Will Fuller doesn't run routes. He just didn't run routes in his time at Notre Dame, but he can flat out fly.
But he body catches it a lot too.
Yep.
You know, and but again, if that stretching of the defense opens things up just a little bit more for DeAndre Hopkins, who's already filthy dangerous, right?
It's what they wanted.
Yeah, and, you know, they got Lamar Miller. It's not like, look, the Jags are not going to be handed the AFC South
no.
this year, but it's fine. We'll come take it, right? That's,
yeah.
That's the way you got to look at it.
No
so,
doubt.
I thought the Texans did okay. I mean, certainly to give Osweiler some weapons there. Even the Cleveland Browns, we were killing them because it's fun to kill Cleveland, right? When they draft ostensibly five wide receivers, although the one kid is more, he's kind of a hybrid, and so you can consider him a tight end.
Sure.
But if you look at it, Tony, it's not like they drafted four wide receivers and a tight end out of seven picks. They had 14 selections. So they had double the picks. So if you figure the bust rate's 50%, okay, we took four. We think Coleman's going to be really good, right? That's what they're thinking because they took him as the first wide receiver off the board. If one of these other guys hit, okay, we're pretty good. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's their approach to it. The quote-unquote money ball approach, let's double up our draft picks as much as we can, and we know the statistics on the success rate, even though we think we're going to pick good players here. My question is, do Ogba, it was Nassib was the other defensive end they took, right? And I think it was back-to-back. It went Ogba, Nassib in rounds 2 and 3 for the Cleveland Browns. If they are going to play a 3-4, which has been the talk, are those guys really the fit in a 3-4 as opposed to a 4-3?
I don't know.
That's their problem.
Yeah, that's a problem for Cleveland, no doubt.
Here's a couple. This just go to show you some of the contrasting opinions on players. This from the text line driven by Duval Ford. In an expression, critiquing rounds 3 to 7 is simply splitting hairs. That said, I think it's fair to wonder why you draft a quarterback who, at best, is a developmental player. My guess is he'll just be a camp arm over other talented players such as Anthony Zettel or Jalen Mills or fan favorite Kelvin Taylor. Again, seeing the home runs they hit in rounds 1 and 2, such critiques are just splitting hairs. But he does point out he thinks just a camp arm. First of all, you don't draft just a camp arm. You don't draft the guy unless you think he can have a future with the team. But the opposite side of this is a text, and here's all it says from someone else. Competition for Henny. Henny's on notice. I think he'll beat Henny out as the number two. Okay? So I don't think there's a prayer in that happening.
No.
Not a prayer. Chad Henny. They want – the Jags, I think, are thinking big. I think they think they can take a bold, large step in the standings. Are they right? I don't know. Okay? I'm not going to say they're going to win 12 games here today. But think big is what their motto ought to be this year. They thought big with the Miles Jack move and – so if you think that way, Tony, you think you got the pieces in place, keep in mind, all this hemming and hawing, and I'm not saying it's totally unjustified about the offensive line. The offense was pretty good last year, right?
It was.
You added Chris Ivory.
Inconsistent, but
I don't think
good.
You're going to be any worse on the yeah. offensive line than you were last year. If you get a full season of Brandon Linder, you're that much better.
Right.
If Kelvin Beachum can play at all, you're probably that much better. So at worst, you're going to have some improvement because Allen Robinson, as good as he was, he could be a better player. Alan Hearns could be a better player. Marquise Lee could be a better player. On and on and on. So if you've got that and you feel like you're adding a lot of talent on defense, man, wouldn't it be a shame if Bortles had to miss a few games and you had to go to a sixth-round rookie who's 6'1", 217, right? No, he's not going to beat out Chad Henne for the number two
no.
job. And Chad Henne, nor do they want him to this year.
And late-round picks, honestly, once they get in like fifth, sixth, seventh round, that kind of area, look, these guys scout. They look at these players for months and months and months to try to figure out how they want their board to fall, where they may be targeting these players at different positions at different times. I'm just the guy who watched college football, right? Like, that's all I am. So I'm at the end of the sixth round going, it'd be kind of intriguing if they got Keith Marshall here. Like, right, that's right. What's going through my head, right? It'd be like, I'd love to see that speed on this team. But that's just because I know who Keith Marshall is.
Right.
That doesn't mean that Keith Marshall is the best fit for them at that pick. And I think once you get into those late rounds, the odds of those guys having big impact for you are so small that if they feel like they've scouted this guy, they feel good about going that direction, then that's fine. That's where the scouts get to be scouts. Is in the fifth, sixth, seventh round of the NFL draft.
I think it's interesting, though, by the way, Keith Marshall there, because all they really have is Matt Jones right now of significance. Chris Thomas is a very small guy. He's not a guy you could ever project as a feature back, I don't think, backing him up with Alfred Morris now. Thinking, boy, I'm glad I'm in Dallas. I'm going to get a lot of touches now with Ezekiel Elliott in there. Let's get Jason in San Marco next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
My question is, I'm extremely happy with these first four picks. I think we're in excellent shape going forward with those guys on our roster. I was want to just ask your opinion. I'm looking at Brandon Allen, and I'm thinking if Jake Coker was available, knowing that he's trained with Jimbo Fisher and the gentleman over at Alabama, why he wasn't considered. I know he's a prototype size for an NFL quarterback, and he'd be a project just like this other guy. Plus, he played against the very best competition and led his team to a national championship. So I'm kind of surprised Coker wasn't picked. And I would have loved to have seen Georgio Newberry from Florida State, who once again, you know, trained against the top-level competition, played against top-level competition, and I think could provide quality reps coming in both at a defensive end and as a defensive tackle. I would have loved to have seen those guys picked in the later rounds, and I'd like your commentary on that.
All right, sure. Look, we're not going to get everybody we want, right? They obviously like Brandon Allen. They spent time with him, and when I say they spent extra time, they had time with him when they were coaching the Senior Bowl. He was very accurate. I think that's the thing that impressed him. Jacob Coker does have that size, and I think he went to a good spot because Bruce Arians likes that kind of quarterback that he profiles to be. But, you know, I mean, look, that's their personal preference. You know, a lot of guys have had success at Alabama or other programs, for that matter, you know, national championship caliber teams. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go on to be superstars in the NFL level. One way you could look at it, Brandon Allen played against Alabama's defense. Jacob Coker didn't have to, right? So there's that. Allen lit up the Mississippi teams last year. And look, you know, they like him better. That's the simple answer to it. They
sure
think this guy fits, in their mind, is more of a likely to succeed as a developmental long-term backup quarterback, and that's why. And, you know, a lot of people are like, why didn't they get Nyle Lawrence Tample? If you're Nyle Lawrence Sample, why would you come here when you look at the defensive tackle depth chart, right? I mean, that you can't get everything you want. Even if, maybe they're interested. I'm sure they took chances on some guys or made calls, Tony, on guys that just didn't want to come. Because when you're, you know, they talk about it's better to not get picked in the seventh round sometimes. It's better to be an undrafted rookie. Then you can choose your landing spot, right?
Sure.
So that's the thing. You know, why didn't they get these guys? Well, maybe they pursued them to some degree, but they clearly like Allen better than Coker. It's a simple answer.
Yeah, when you look at the guys they brought in as far as undrafted rookies that the Jags signed, you don't see any defensive tackles, and you really don't see any defensive linemen coming in, because how can they win a spot on this roster at this point in time? It doesn't feel like there's any space for those guys, and if they have options, I would go somewhere else too. Honestly.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today, post-draft edition, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. Tweet us. Question of the day is out there. Describe the Jaguars draft in one word. Tweet at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, or post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Also, if you go to my timeline, I've got a poll up. Which rookie will have the biggest on-field impact for the Jags this year? Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, or someone else? And Dante Fowler Jr. does not count as a rookie. Back with more Jaguars Today momentarily on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Question, Tony, before we go back to the phones here. Welcome back to Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Somebody asked me, find the exact wording of this. Where is it? It was basically Frangie versus Prosser, who would get more yards after contact. okay? Who you got in that scenario?
Franchi versus Prosser?
Yeah, Franchi versus Prosser, like in Jags backfield. Here we go. Who would have more yards after contact if the Jags had Franchi and Prosser in the backfield? Exactly. Who would it be?
Prosser's an angrier guy.
I cut my teeth on sports fanaticism.
And he pitched in high school, although I think they both pitched.
Franchi pitched, he tried out for the Gators, so he pitched a lot. He's a good pitcher in high school.
But we got the clip somewhere of Prosser saying, I pitched in high school. Like, it should qualify.
Hacker pushed Cedric Fazen in the back on the JV squad.
Franchi's the bigger guy, though. I'll go Franchi.
Ah, Prosser. Definitely Prosser. Franchi can't let that hair get messed up, dude. He wouldn't be able to find his helmet on the sideline. You kidding me? Have you ever seen the front of that hair when it rains? He does not like that.
He does not.
Imagine putting a helmet on? Nah, not going to happen. So Frank wouldn't get in the game because he'd be looking for his helmet. Prosser,
believe in you, Frank. Just lean. Fall forward.
His body lean. And then they followed up. How about station-wide Baselli excluded? I would have given him a run for the money if my knee wasn't shot right now. So it wouldn't be me. If you'd have said who could fall forward the farthest, I think I'd take that. But
probably.
I think it'd be somebody. You know what I think it'd be? It might be Gibby. That's who it would be. It wouldn't be one of the hosts. It'd be Gibby.
I think so, too. If he could stay on his feet before he got tackled, unlike when he was running the 40-yard dash at the producer combine.
That's a good call.
He lost some balance there.
Ain't going to be Hacker's like Derrick Henry. I think Hacker needs a little time to get up to speed. Beef may as well. I think Gibby, he's a little more stout than a guy like Tyler Devitt. You know, Tyler's in good shape. He's just wiry.
That's, I don't know how to ride a bike, but I think I can manage a tricycle.
The true basketball build for Tyler. It's not like the power forward build that seems to work in the NFL.
No, he's got like the 6'1 high school point guard.
Yeah. The long arms, you know, quick twitch athlete.
Yeah, are you a quick twitch athlete? I'll take your word for it. All right, we answer these pertinent questions on Jaguars today. Let's go to the phone. 641-1010 is the number. Harry is driving on 295 right now, and he joins us on Jaguars today. Good morning, Harry.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
All right, I want to pose this question to you. Why does the Jaguars covet Ramsey so much when he is not the best cornerback or safety in the draft?
Hold on. Okay. Tell me who do you like better. I'm not arguing. Just tell me who you like better at corner and safety.
Well, they said that the cornerback from Miami was the best cornerback coming out.
Who said that? The NFL didn't say that because he wasn't the first. He was about the fourth or fifth cornerback taken.
Well, you know, we can argue that point. They said that the safety from West Virginia was the best safety coming out of the draft.
There may be some people that feel that, but they're not going to plan on playing Jalen Ramsey at safety. Here's what, it's the freakish world-class athleticism. You know, I mean, he's got world-class athleticism. I mean, this guy has truly sprinter speed at 6'1". He is that big corner that they covet. You know, maybe you like Vernon Hargraves as a better pure corner. Well, the upside of Jalen Ramsey, Tony, you could walk him up to the box. You can blitz him. He is a movable chess piece that you can use in so many ways. I think he could play strong safety if he really wanted to. I think it'd be a waste of his talents, right? Is his range. And I think he would be better suited right now to play free safety, and he's not going to do that. But I think they're trying to project. It's not about, by the way, who the best cornerback is this moment. Who's the best cornerback going to be over the course of the next 5 to 10 years? They think it's going to be Jalen Ramsey. I think the NFL decision makers, and I'm not arguing, Artie Burns, nice player, and good for him to go in the first round, you know, for the Miami Hurricanes. And I think if the Jags had drafted a D lineman, say, in round one, Tone, and Miles Jack had gone to someone else, I could have been happy with Artie Burns being the second round
pick.
Sure.
Look, I think when you look at Jalen Ramsey and what he's going to project to at the next level, the big questions you have are his hands, right? He just didn't intercept a lot of passes while he was at Florida State. He defended a lot of passes. And Jeff Loggeman, talking about this last Thursday on our draft show, said that as soon as they picked him, he said he'd put him on the jugs machine tomorrow. And just work on those hands. And he said it's not because he was out of position to make those plays. It was that he would turn around, find the ball, and he'd only stick one hand out to knock it down instead of try to make a play on the ball and go the other way. He did a lot of that at Florida State. His athleticism allowed him to be in a lot of plays that a lot of guys wouldn't have been in. And that's why he's going to be the fifth pick and these other guys are going to go after him, because he is just such a freak athletically. You teach him some of these skills that I think can be taught, and he could be a dynamic playmaker on that side of the ball.
Any team, in my opinion, needing a corner in this draft would have taken Jalen Ramsey first over anyone else if they had all of them available to them. Now, maybe they feel like, hey, Mackenzie Alexander in the second round would be a better value than Ramsey fifth overall. That's not what I'm talking about. Who's the best pure corner or has the most potential at corner of any player in this draft? I think 32 general managers would have taken Jalen Ramsey.
I agree.
But, Henry, we appreciate the call. Here is Dave Caldwell talking about Ramsey and the way they plan on using him.
Well, I think we'll fit him at corner at first. And then, obviously, with Aaron's four-game suspension, he's got the ability to play inside, too. So we'll let him probably compete in there at some point in time and see where that goes. But we feel good now. You know, cornerback is now a situation for us where we have, you know, a really good stable of cornerbacks. And the addition of Prince and D-House and Colvin and him and Grazie and D-Mac. And it's a good – we went from a good group to a very good group.
All right, there you go. And pretty much like we laid out, but always nice to hear it from Dave Caldwell's mouth. Andy is in Denver, the Mile High City right now, and he's checking in on Jaguars today. Good morning, Andy.
Mike, Tony, what's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Just couldn't go back to bed, so I figured I'd finally listen to the live stream and maybe call in. Yeah, I mean, like all you guys out in Duval, man, I am excited for this draft. Tons of value. I'm still pinching myself that we got Ramsey and Jack. But I wanted to talk to you guys about the value of our one of our sixth rounders, maybe our fifth rounder, Tyrone Holmes, out of Montana. Like, I got to say, he's a small school guy, but, man, I think he has a lot of potential. Led the nation in sacks. And the way I see it, if Carson Wentz out of North Dakota State can be like a quarterback and a starter in this league, I mean, why not a small school pass rusher? And finally, I look forward to coming out there for my first home game, maybe when we beat that other up-and-coming team, the Raiders. And, yeah, I'll take your guys' comments off here. Thanks, guys.
I like it. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. Flying the flag for the Jags out in the Mile High City.
I watched the Tyrone Holmes tape they had on YouTube against North Dakota State. It's the only game they had on there, and it was the kind of kickoff game of the year in college football this year. And there was one play he had in the first quarter of that game where I don't think South Dakota State's right tackle is worth a darn, but he just bull rushed the guy back into the quarterback, reached out with his left hand, and Wentz is a strong guy.
Yeah, big
guy. A big, strong guy. Reached out with his left hand, was pulling him towards the ground, punched with his right hand to knock the ball out on a fumble, and I was like, oh. I was
pretty
like,
good,
that's
right?
That's a pretty good play. Look, he went to Montana, so obviously you're projecting a little bit here. And they talked about him as a Leo and maybe playing a little bit of auto for this team as well. So he's kind of a tweener guy, as Bradley's now calling it, the lotto guy.
It's kind of fun, right?
Side. But, yeah, I think he has potential, and that's kind of what you're looking for in the sixth round. Guys that they may have flaws in their games, but there's the potential for a lot of upside with this guy.
All right, where's Andy calling from? Denver, right? Where did DeMarcus Ware go to school? Troy, okay?
Yeah.
Can you find players at smaller schools? Here's the difference. You're not loading up the first few rounds of the draft with all small school players like someone would do. Was not very good at this as a job.
You don't think they are? Florida State, UCLA, Maryland, Notre Dame.
Right. And it's been that every year, Tony. I mean, look, you could say UCF. I mean, UCF's a much bigger program than we're talking about here.
They had just
with some
played
of these
in a BCS game.
Dave Caldwell said we're looking for two things, particularly when you go small school. You're looking for, A, to dominate the competition, led the nation in sacks, 18 sacks last year, and B, then do you have the raw athletic measurables, which indicates to us you didn't just dominate because the competition sucked. You dominated, and you've got this athleticism that maybe you were miscast and maybe you fell through the cracks. Players fall through the cracks. You're talking about a sixth-round pick here. And again, when that pick was made, Tony, the pundits, oh, my gosh, fourth-round value in the sixth round. And CBS NFL Draft Scout guys gave two A-pluses to the Jaguars in this draft. The Miles Jack selection, Ramsey was an A. The Miles Jack selection was an A+. The Tyrone Holmes selection was an A+. So we'll see if it turns out to go that well. AJ's downtown, and he's now on Jaguars today. Hi, AJ. How are you?
Hey, guys. I was wondering, what do y'all see the draft players achieving on the Jaguars, and what do you see them finishing?
What? I say the question again, please.
How do you see the players that Jaguars drafted being on the team, and where do you see them finishing?
Like, how do we see him fitting in for this year's roster? Is that, I think that's kind of what you're talking about, Tony. Is that the gist you get there?
Yes.
Jalen Ramsey's going to start. Whether it's you're starting outside, you're starting, he's going to start. I assume it's going to be House and Ramsey, or you're starting corners. And they talked about, you know, with Colvin missing time, he could move inside. It's still a cornerback spot. It's just a nickel corner. It's a different kind of corner, but he's not going to play safety. But, look, let's say Tayshaun Gibson got hurt. Boom. Throw Ramsey back there at free safety. Honestly, I mean, I'd cross-train him.
I wouldn't be shocked if there's times where they're playing Gibson and Ramsey at safety. I don't know if who would be the free and who would be the strong necessarily. If you even have to put them in those terms at times, it doesn't always have to be. We have to have a free and a strong safety on the field. If they feel like they have an advantage by having their best athletes in that secondary on the field all at the same time, then I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, instead of just adding a nickel corner, maybe you play. What if you have in nickel, right, in third and long? You've got Gibson, Ramsey as your ostensible safeties with Amukamara, Colvin, and House, right?
Yeah.
Sometime when Colvin gets back. And you've got basically four corners and a safety on the field. But the corner, you're not giving up anything in the run if they run that draw play because of the size of Jalen Ramsey. He's going to start. Miles Jack, they don't even know. I don't even know if they're sure how they're going to use Miles Jack yet. I think it's going to be fun to watch. They could play Mike, could play Will, could play Strong. He could do anything. He's going to be on the field, and he better be on the field on third down if everything we've heard about him being just epic in coverage. And we know that he's good in coverage, but when a guy like Russ Landy tells you he's the best he's ever graded in, what is it, 30 years he's been doing this?
Yep.
Best coverage linebacker he's ever graded. Those two guys obviously are going to start. I think Ngakoue is your likely first guy off the bench, sub-package rusher among these prospects. And, you know, guys like Day needs rotation snaps. And you know, talking about Holmes, he's pushing for, you know, sub-package. When we say sub-package, when you're in third down, third and long, you have designated pass rushers on the field. Right, Ngakoue and Holmes, I think, and Woodard, if he makes the squad, are going to be designated pass rushers. They're not going to be playing first and second
feels,
down.
Yeah.
Right, and so there you go. Brandon Allen's trying to be the long-term backup quarterback on this football team. So thank you for the call. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday continues in a moment. We'll come back, take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you one word to describe the Jaguars 2016 draft class. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
With the 69th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Yannick Ngakoue, defensive end, Maryland.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
MJD, getting it right. Yannick Ngakoue, good job there, young man, as he will join the Jags as their third-round pick, University of Maryland, where he put up big, big numbers in the Big Ten. By the way, good looking out, Matt Hoffman on Twitter, at Matt_Hoffman28, went ahead and retweeted a couple of the Russ Landy tweets that we had out there from February 17th. He went back and found them. That's when Landy said that Miles Jack was the best coverage linebacker he has ever graded. Luke Kuechly previously had been. And also, Matt, doing some research, went back and found a Russ Landy tweet from back in 2013. Russ Landy. Also, I rewatched the UCLA-Arizona game, and I cannot wait to evaluate UCLA's Miles Jack in 2 years when he is draft eligible. He has high first-round potential. You're correct, sir.
He did. 2013.
2013. Woo! Right. Well, he burst on the scene, man. He was a dynamo. Both sides of the ball. Absolutely unbelievable. Yannick Ngakoue is the subject of Greg's call, I believe. Greg in Orange Park. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Morning. How y'all doing?
We're good. How are you?
Doing very good after this draft. The reason I wanted to bring up Ngakoue is a lot of people are unfamiliar with him just because he went to Maryland. I went to Maryland, so I watched all their games last year, and there were only three bright spots on defense: Sean Davis, Will Likely, and Ngakoue. The guy's got speed, but the biggest thing I like about him is he's relentless. He does not give up, and he will run people down. I think it's a very good pick in the third round.
I like it. Hey, Greg, we appreciate the firsthand perspective. 13.5 sacks in the Big Ten.
They got a couple of those guys where it's kind of that third and fourth round with Ngakoue and Day. That's kind of something that separates them a little bit, is they're high motor guys. They do not give up on plays.
Let's get Satchel on the west side to close it out on the phone lines this morning. Good morning, Satchel.
How you doing, guys?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Good. I'm sorry, but I got to say something. I just don't get all of the opinions about Jalen Ramsey's lack of interceptions at Florida State, but I'm just going to make a quick point. Last I checked, you pay a cornerback to prevent the other guy from catching the ball, and the other point I want to make is actually an example, a pretty good one. If you remember Nnamdi Asamoah for the Oakland Raiders, he was first-team All-Pro the entire time he was in Oakland, and if you go back and look, he had the least amount of interceptions in the league at that time. I'll take your commentary off there.
Well, that's because when you reach a certain level, they stop throwing your way in the NFL, and that's reflected in the interception totals. Ramsey did get his hands on balls that he couldn't corral. You know, so look, yeah. I'm excited about Ramsey, but that doesn't mean he's perfect. We can point out that there are areas of improvement. That's a good thing. You want the guy to come in and be as good as he's ever going to be. Jalen Ramsey has sick potential, athletic ability, and the kids mean that in a positive way, sick, Tony, so I'm going to go with that. By the way, the Chalk debuts coming up top of the hour, so let's get to the fan feedback spotlight here, Tony. One word we asked Jaguar fans to describe this year's draft class.
Let me just give you the words, yep. And here we got, from Irish Jaguar, from Adam, resurrection. Frank said jackpot. From Eric, ecstatic. From Jag Junkie, perfect. From Brosif, we got supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
We got that like five times.
Yeah, we got a bunch of that. From Brian, Jagalicious. From Ronald, we got astonishing. From Seth, this is one of my favorites, super happy tacklelicious, extra special prospicious, or something along those lines.
Extra special procious.
Whatever it happens to be. It's not real. From Cristiano Duval. From Marcel, we got gangbusters. From Ernest, insane. From Brett, Madden-esque. From Jarrell, superb. From Matthew, pivotal. From Eric, Bazinga. From Ocho Ficho, we got show stealing. From Cody, ostentatious. From Paolo, transcendent. From Brian, criminal. From Lauren Brooks, splash-tastic.
I told her she was splash-tastic. She is. By the way, I've got, you think they used up most of them, right? No. On Facebook, Tony, I'm not even going to tell you because we're short on time. Incomprehensible, valued, heist, sensational, outstanding, opportunity, diabolical, another supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, delightful, fortuitous, Caldwellian, scrum-trolescent, and we got that twice. Are they trying to make scrumtrolescent happen? I don't know. Freaks, sacalicious, fantastic, epic, exciting. Another scrumtrolescent. Jalen, playoffs, unprecedented, inconceivable, stunning, amazing, blessed. And they spelled it with the S-S-E-D, no T. Sorry on that one. Legit, winning, playoffs, question mark? Whoa. And then Adrian Carter put five little fire symbols. So I guess he means they're just on fire, right? Straight fire. I don't know. That's two words, but I'll take it to close out the day because we're in that good of a mood on this Monday morning. Brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, from revolvers to sporting arms and just about everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold meets and beats any gun shop's price in the USA. Guaranteed, you can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jax.com is the website. Guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Or stop by and see the folks on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars today. Welcome Jalen Ramsey. Welcome Miles Jack. Welcome Yannick Ngakoue. Welcome Sheldon Day. Welcome Tyrone Holmes. Welcome Brandon Allen. Welcome Jonathan Woodard. And welcome all the undrafted rookie free agents as well. Go out there and compete and rise up and shock the National Football League this year. I'm not going to put any kind of damper on expectations on this particular Monday. Reality will set in at some point in time, but the reality is they could be a playoff team this year. I'm not guaranteeing that. Nobody is. Well, some are. But then again, some have been doing that pretty much every year since we've been doing this show. So that does it for us today. Great job, Fat Tony. Thanks to Joe Fortunato and Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. The debut of the Chalk, Rick Ballew joins Joe C. Hacker and T-Wig coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.